Graham. We're going to be blessed now with a word from the Lord as Graham brings what the Lord has given him. Oh God, we praise you, Lord, because you are high and lifted up in this place as you should be. We worship you, Lord. We bow down before you. You are great and awesome. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to teach us this morning through your word. We pray for Graham, Lord, this morning that you will anoint him as he speaks, that you will anoint our ears as we receive, and that, Lord, all glory, honor, and blessing goes back to the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Graham.
I'm following or continuing the series we're doing on discipleship, and I'll be looking at prayer this morning. So we've probably, the vast majority of us have probably heard hundreds of words about prayer, whether it's intercessory prayer, whether it's the Lord's Prayer, whether it's Moses is praying, Daniel's praying, Jesus is praying. The chances are we've heard any number of words on prayer. And often, when I'm sat where you're sat, and think about, oh, is somebody preaching on prayer? Well, I've heard this before. So there's a tendency, certainly in me, to think, oh, well, I can sit back and let it tickle my ears without any real appreciation of allowing God to speak to me again and maybe reveal something new. So this morning we're looking at prayer, and I want to say right at the start that God has a plan for this church. And God's got our backs. Now there are a number of people within our church family who are going through particularly hard times at the moment, and there may well be an opportunity at the end where we as a body pray for them. We don't need to necessarily know who they are or what the situation is. Some of us know, certainly for some of them, but we've sung, our God is an awesome God. He reigns in power and majesty. So maybe at the end we will as a body raise our voices in prayer to the awesome God for these members of our body here, our Christian family here, who are going through hard times. So we will do that. There may well be other things we pray for as well, but we will definitely be praying for them in that way. So, one of the words that's been coming through consistently over the last few months, I guess, is about being in the river. Being in the river that flows from the throne of God and getting to a place where we're out of our depth. Now, part of that involves praying. Part of that involves being part of this body. And part of it, as through prayer, involves us hearing from God. That's all part of being in the river. Otherwise, we might as well just be on our airbed, floating merrily down the river and not taking much notice of what's happening. So when I'm talking about prayer this morning, it's in the context of us being in the river. And I want to encourage all of us that we need and can go deeper, but it's our choice. We choose whether we want to go from just go up to our ankles or up to our knees or waist or out of our depth. It's our choice. But God wants us to be out of our depth. God wants us to be in that position where we are trusting on Him and we're trusting in Him for every aspect of our lives. And as God's encouraging us to get in the river, there will be changes. Our lives will change. The church, Airedale, will change because we will be going where God wants us to be, and we'll be going and we'll be doing the things that God wants us to do. So that's the starting point. Now, the Lord's Prayer. What's the first sentence of the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be your name. So, the very first sentence of the Lord's Prayer tells us what we should do. Gives us a real insight into how we pray. That it's, Father God, hallowed be your name. Abba, Father, Daddy, you are just amazing. You are just worth everything that we can possibly give you. Now, God doesn't need us to make him feel good, because God already knows he's good. He's the ultimate good. But as we bless him, he longs for us to bless him. He longs for us to tell him how wonderful he is, because that does us good. That takes us from looking at ourselves to looking at him, to looking at his glory, to looking at his majesty, to look just for everything he's done, for everything he is. So we're not saying hallowed be your name to validate him. We're saying hallowed be your name because you are worth it. You are worth everything we can possibly give you. And I feel this morning that that is a word for people here. That God wants us to bless him for the sake of blessing him. To make us feel better. To make us, to allow us to take our eyes off the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Now, a few weeks ago, I guess most of you know that I work at Morrison's at Skipton, pushing the trolleys. And surprisingly, apart from having to have eyes in the back of my head so I don't get run over or don't run into people, I'm able to spend time praying and just talking to God. And a couple of weeks ago, I was feeling really, really flat. And I'm trying to pray, and you know those times when you're praying, it's just bouncing off the walls, and you don't feel there's any breakthrough, or it's just hard. And just in my spirit, I felt, tell God who he is. So I just came in, started walking around saying, you are amazing, you are good, you are everlasting, you are creator, you are above all others. And for about, I guess it must have been about half an hour, that's what I was doing. I didn't stop pushing trolleys, but that's what I was doing. And it's amazing how my spirit soared. It soared. So for the next period of time when I was working, I was just praising God. I was just, there's a song we used to sing, I could search for all eternity long, but find there is none like you. And I think I've been singing that for the last 2 weeks at work. Because I could have searched for all eternity long, and I would have still found nobody better than God. Yeah. I would have still found nobody better than him. And that's prayer. I want to say right at the start that praise and worship is prayer, because we're praising and worshipping God. And it can be the doorway into prayer, into actual what we would call prayer. So, what is, in its basic form, what is prayer? What is praying? Talking. Sometimes we flower it all up to say, oh, we are praying, we're going to a prayer meeting, there's a half night of prayer. We flower it up, but in its essence, it is talking to God. That's what it is, plain and simple. Now, I've been a Christian long enough to have been in prayer meetings where we've had people standing up and, thus saith the Lord, oh, heavenly Father, thou art worth in language that I didn't understand then. Why don't we just talk to God? I'm as bad as everybody else. I flower up my language sometimes when I'm praying, particularly when I'm praying in public. It just seems to be what I do. But I'm learning to just talk to God and listen. And that was hard for me to actually learn to listen. But Pete Gregg talks in one of his books how he was walking down the street and he felt God say to him, "Look at that tree." And he was looking at the tree, waiting for God to give him some awesome revelation about this tree, about how the roots are going deep, and that's a picture of the Christian life. And he's looking and waiting, and there's nothing, there's no thunderbolts coming from heaven like that. And he's saying, "Yeah, God, what are you trying to say?" And he felt God say to him, "It's a nice tree, isn't it?" Because that's just God. That's talking to God in our own language. It's talking to God just because he's God. Now, back to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, Abba, Father, Daddy. Jesus says we can call God Daddy because we are living in him. And he called God Daddy because he was his dad. So when we're talking to our Father, to God, he's interested in what we have to say. We don't have to wait for a specific time in the day or night or day of the week. God's interested in us all the time. And if you are having a hard time, talk to God. Just tell him how you feel. Be earthy with him. He's not offended. If you've had a rubbish day at work, tell God, "God, I've had a crappy day at work. It's been horrible." And just talk to God. "Help me. Help me at work because it's rubbish." Because God is interested in us. And again, I sense that some people here need to hear that. That God is interested in every little thing about you. Good, bad, indifferent. You know, it's almost like God might say to you, "How was your day at work today? How was school? How was whatever?" God is interested and wants to talk to us. And he wants us to talk to him about anything. Paul talks in Thessalonians about pray without ceasing. And I used to worry about that because I thought, how do I pray without ceasing? Thinking it meant big, am I going to pray these big prayers all the time? And it's only perhaps in the last 10 years that I've begun to realise that's not what it means. It means just talk to God. It's if you talk to God, it becomes a habit. And a habit becomes a lifestyle. And a lifestyle becomes something that we can keep on doing because it becomes natural. It becomes something that we do automatically. And we don't just wait for something bad to happen before we, "Oh God, get me out of this." Or we don't wait for something good to say, "God, you're amazing." We don't wait for a specific time. It's just who we are. And if we're in the river, that's part of who we are. We are part of that. It becomes who we are because it's what we do. Not, although this might sound double Dutch, it's not who we are, it's not what we do, it's who we are. It becomes us. So if we are doing this as a body, then it has a massive impact. It has a huge impact on what we do in church and how we function as a church. So, pray without ceasing. Let's just learn to start talking to God. Just chat to Him. Not about anything in particular, not about the latest world events, although we may want to do that. But let's just talk to Him about us, our lives, our things we are going through. Now, that doesn't mean everything we ask for or everything we think we need we'll get. Because again, and lots of you will be familiar with, if you ask God for it, you will get it. Because that's what it says in the Bible. And the reality is, everything we ask for, we don't get. In the same way, when our children were young, and they stamped their feet wanting an Action Man, or more sweets, or a bike, or whatever it was, and as loving parents we said, no, you're not having that. And they stamped their feet and sulked. But the reality was, as parents, we knew best. We knew that if they ate half a pound of sweets, that would not do them much good. And in the same way, God knows what's good for us. I forget where it is in the New Testament, but it says, all good gifts come from God. So all good gifts might mean that something we want, we don't get. We can't call God Father, Daddy, and expect to get everything that we think we need. And again, I sense that's a word for people here. And forgive me, but as I'm stood here now, I just sense, and I've no idea who you are, but I just sense there's some of us here who are being the stroppy little toddler with God, demanding things that we want or we think we need, and we're praying and we're arguing with God, saying, your word says all good gifts come from you. Your word says, ask and you shall receive. Why aren't I getting this? And we're giving it the stroppy toddler, stroppy teenager bit. And I sense God saying, you're not having it because it's not good for you. And that may seem harsh, but that's what I sense God is saying. You're not getting it because it's not good for you. Not because I'm being mean or being hard-hearted. We can't say, God, we love you and we want to give our lives to you, all our lives to you, and then react badly when God says no. That's part of being a Christian. That's part of being who we are in the body of Christ. So let's learn. You may be already doing it, and if you are, fantastic. But for those of us that are not, let's learn to talk to God. Because once you start talking to God, you're starting to pray without ceasing. There's a guy, I think from the Middle Ages, called Brother Lawrence, who was a monk. And he wasn't a famous monk. He wasn't an abbot or anything like that. But he's one of the most famous monks in history because of what he did. And it wasn't miracles or anything like that. He decided he was going to think about Jesus every moment of the day. In whatever he was doing, he actually worked in the kitchens and washing up. That was his main job. And he decided he was going to think about Jesus every moment of every day. And if he forgot, he knew he'd just, sorry God, I forgot, and he'd start again. He had such an impact on people that the abbot said he didn't have to go to any of their specific meetings because he was already meeting with God all the time. So he didn't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He didn't have to pray at 11 o'clock at night because he was doing it all the time. And people flooded to him because he had so much wisdom, so much understanding. And people were just attracted to him. And the biography about him talks about him talking to God. He just seemed to have this conversation and he would talk to God. And he'd look out the window and he'd just be amazed at creation and say, God, this is amazing. Look at the birds, look at the trees. And that's what he did. Now, he wasn't anybody special. He wasn't some prayer superstar or anything like that. He was just a monk who worked in the kitchen and did the most of the washing up. That's what he did. That was his job. But he's had such an impact on the Christian world since then because of what he did and how he did it. And I think that's a challenge for us. I'm not saying we're all going to turn into Brother Lawrence's or anything like that, but we can cultivate that spirit of, I want to talk to God and I'm just going to talk to you, and I'm just, you know, about anything and everything. And that's what God wants us to do. I really feel that in my spirit, that's what God wants us to do. Now, that's us. But there's other times where we are called to pray in spiritual warfare. And it may be we are battling spiritual warfare. Paul talks about we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the dark places. And he talks about put on the whole armour of God. And when you've put on the whole armour of God, the last part of it says, and pray. And if we develop a relationship with God where we talk to him, when it comes to those times where we do enter that maybe a sustained period of prayer for something specific or a situation or people, when we are called to do that, we're able to do it, but we don't have to work ourselves up, because it's the step from talking to God to crying out to God. It's a relatively small step, but we have to do the first bit so that the second bit doesn't become a major, all night's prayer and whatever we decide to do as a church. It's a small step. So, three things. Tell God who he is. Bless God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's start doing that. Not just when we say the Lord's Prayer, but consistently. Let's start talking to God about stuff. Everyday stuff. Yes, we might be part of prayer groups or prayer organisations that are praying for, you know, mission and things like that. And I'm not saying we stop doing that. But let's learn to just talk to God about stuff. And then when we are called into spiritual warfare, in we're actually praying into situations and taking a stand against powers and principalities, we're able to do it, not having to wind ourselves up to do it. Does that make sense? So, they're the three things that I want to leave you with, and that I sense God is speaking to us about, specifically relating to.